We get things underway, though, by welcoming in our Tuesday friend. Well, not just Tuesday friend, 7 days a week. Tuesday, he joins us, though, writer and critic Colin Fleming. Hello, Colin.
Hey, hey. I have shed my fetters, sir, and the ghost of spooky Christmas ghost stories is upon you. Woo!
That brings me much fear and happiness at the same time. Yeah, we're talking Christmas ghost stories today, and it's quite a tradition. How did this tradition begin, Colin?
Well, my friend, look out the window where you are, and you will see that it is quite dark out, isn't it, as we're in the time period of the winter solstice, and that was a lot to do with it in Victorian times, especially this is more of an English tradition, and there wasn't a lot to do. Things shut down pretty early, and it was cold, so you were inside, you were around the candles, and you had to amuse yourself and your friends and your family, and so you told ghost stories, in effect, trying to see who could out-horrify each other.
Why do you think we like ghost stories so much at this particular time of year?
I think at this time of the year, you have this kind of, it's like an estuary where you have salt water and you have fresh water. We have glad tidings, but we have the truncation of days. We have the mirth of relationships rekindled. And yet at the same time, we have the death of the old year. Any person who has made it so far as 10th grade high school English will tell you, when you read poetry and you're getting into autumn in the poems, you're getting into burgeoning winter in the poems, things are dying. It's a potent metaphor. So you have all of these kind of things happening at once. And one of the things that I think is very powerful when it happens simultaneously is that kind of mashup of the sacred, very holy time of year, and the profane. And a ghost is kind of a profane sort of a thwart idea against natural order. And it just seems to dovetail well with the paradoxes, the contrast of this time of year.
We're talking with Colin Fleming here on Downtown. Well, let's discuss a few specific works that would be well worthy of listeners' time this time of year. And let's start with Christmas Eve on a Haunted Hulk.
Oh, that's a good one. That is by a man named Frank Cowper, who was all about boats. He wasn't even really primarily a writer. In fact, he had the nickname, the forefather of modern cruising, which I understand you are known as yourself as you roll down the streets of Bangor evaluating seasonal talent.
True.
But he knew a lot about boats, and what he did was he wrote this story where, I kind of like horror stories where they could happen. They could happen pretty easily if just one thing in your life goes wrong and then you're in like a boatload, right, of trouble. And he, the narrator of the story, he's going to visit his friend out in the English countryside, and the friend is, he works in a church, and he's busy, so basically says to his visiting buddy, amuse yourself. So the guy, he gets a duck punt, which is like a little kayaky kind of deal, and he goes out hunting for ducks. And he's out in this marsh, speaking of estuaries, and he comes across this old ship. And it's not like some giant frigate or anything, but it has multiple levels to it, and he's curious how it got there, so he ties up his duck punt. He's a little bit offshore, right? He's cold. And the line gets frayed while he's in the hold of this ship. And he really has no way back. He feels like he's kind of within shouting distance of the house from which he came, but he's trapped. He can't go into the water. His punt is gone, and he decides people will come looking for him in the morning. That's been Christmas Eve, and starts falling asleep, and he starts hearing these sounds, and things do not go terribly well for him on this boat, and he is rescued in the morning and everything, and the mystery is really never kind of solved. But again, it's just that idea of you're out there, it's very simple, this could happen to anyone back then at the time, and he has this horrific ordeal on Christmas Eve, no less, as a result.
Let's talk about another one, Christmas Reunion by Sir Andrew Caldecott.
This is one that I think you especially would like because it's a Twilight Zone type of story. Caldecott was someone who didn't also write ghost stories for the most part. He was a civil servant in England and did most of his work in the Far East. And he gets into middle age and he says, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to be a badass writer of ghost stories. That's what he starts doing. He writes two volumes. One is called Not Exactly Ghost. And this is the concluding story of that particular book. And I love the title because, again, it's that idea of, this is could be a ghost, right? Someone from, the hereafter. Or there could be this other explanation. In this story, it's a family gathering, and we know there's a backstory of someone did someone something wrong, and Father Christmas, which is what the English call Santa, is there, and this person who seemingly did the wrongdoing leaves, and Father Christmas, who's entertaining the talk, trails after this guy, and they have the reunion of the title in a subway station, and again, things do not end well when the person who did the bad stuff in the first place gets their mortal comeuppance. And you come away thinking, like, that's kind of Black Christmassy. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone episode where it's not necessarily the supernatural, but probably kind of the supernatural.
I found a cool version of it as told by Edward French. I don't know who Edward French is, but it was on YouTube, and it was actually very good.
There are some real goodies on YouTube with some of these things. And, yeah, but you see how it's like that kind of Rod Serling, like born of his imagination type thing where you have now it's almost like a trope, the idea of the killer Santa Claus, right? That has been so many grade Z films. But this was sort of the starter. This was the first pass down the field in terms of that particular area, yeah.
Well, another one that is really the template for many contemporary ghost stories is the one you really recommended I read. I did, and it was wonderful. Smee by A.M. Burridge. That was fantastic.
He's an excellent writer. I don't know if Burridge is... I'd say he's one of the three or four best ghost story writers out of this tradition. Everyone always mentions M.R. James and E.F. Benson, whom I prefer over M.R. James. I think James can be a little cold, clinical. There's more human warmth in Benson. But Burridge was an excellent prose stylist, and he imbued his stories with a lot of voice, the word that's overused now among writers. But what you want with voice is you look at the story, and you know who wrote it. And that doesn't mean that it's repetitive from story to story. It means that a writer has a way of inhabiting a story such that you know immediately it's them. Melville would do that. You could read Taipei. You could read Moby Dick. You could read Pierre. And they're so different from each other stylistically, syntactically, everything. But you always know straight away with Melville. That's what I do. And that's what Burridge did to his own personal degree. And this story is about people are at a holiday party. And again, it's happy, glad tidings, all of that. And they're playing an indoor version of hide and seek. And Smee is a conflation of the word, it's me, when you say it hurriedly when you're excited in the middle of a game. And it turns out that one of the participants in this game, well, let's just say, like, you know how when you go on a field trip and you're left with 30 kids and you're counting heads on the bus on the way back and there's 31? You have an issue. So that is sort of the central problem of this story. And if you know the excellent 1945 English horror omnibus film, Dead of Night, he is a part of that work. And you have a character who's Bob Cratchit in the 1951 version of Scrooge. He's sort of the central linking point of that particular film. But Burridge worked well on the screen. Now, no one who saw that film in 1945 or since, turn to classic movies, there's it actually coming out on Blu-ray, knows that that's the source material. But it's wonderfully evocative, and yet at the same time, it has, right, that feeling of cheer. Like, you're a part of this. And it's a pleasing terror. It's like in the song Scary Ghost Stories, but it's a very major key, right? That Andy Williams tune. I feel like he would be talking about this Burridge story in particular.
I just hope I don't meet anyone named Brenda Ford anytime soon.
No, that would be, right, a bit of a thorny issue for you. And I wish what had happened, actually, is 50 years ago, another film, sort of, or a film series, the BBC launched an annual, semi-annual short film production called The Ghost Story for Christmas. And I think that Smee would have been perfect material for them to tackle. But the very first version was, speaking of M.R. James, was based upon his "Oh, Whistle and I'll Come to You, My Lad." Now, people out there who are Ghost Story fans, you know that in terms of the modern ghost story, M.R. James is basically the alpha figure. He is what Lovecraft would become later for so-called weird fiction. And what M.R. James did, you notice a theme here. These were not regular writers, even though we know them as writers now. He worked at King's Chapel, and he was a big head honcho there. And what he would do is he would write a ghost story, and he would invite people, his friends and his favorite students, to come to his room at night, and he would read his annual M.R. James ghost story. And I think about that when I reflect on Christmas, that if you were at King's Chapel around this time, so it's like the late 1890s, you could, in theory, go to M.R. James's room for an amazing story like, "Oh, Whistle, I'll Come to You, My Lad." Then you could go down to the chapel for the famous Festival of Lessons and Carols from the King's Choir. I think if you could be in Doctor Who's little box with him and go back to any Christmas in time, you would have to set a date, set a course, my friend, for 1898, King's College, M.R. James, Festival of Lessons and Carols.
Well, I plan on starting that tradition this year by reading one of those ghost stories. I may go with M.R. James. It sounds great. I loved Smee and can't wait to read some more and start our own little spooky holiday tradition here. Colin, we thank you as always. I hope your Christmas goes very well. We're off the next two Tuesdays because of Christmas and New Year's, so we'll catch up with you on January 8th in that brand new year.
All right. Happy Christmas, sir.
Thank you. Colin Fleming with us every Tuesday on Downtown.